League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
What are we starting with this week, Jemp?
We're trying to think what we haven't done in a while. We review? But the podcast, Spotify review.
Spotify review. What's up?
A podcast?
Yes, we're starting a podcast.
Okay,
as we do every week. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on where we are on Spotify. So we've got over 12,000 followers, but 12,700 right now.
Ooh,
amazing,
that's gone
right?
Up a lot.
So if you want us to shout you out as a Spotify follower, all you need to do is follow us on Spotify, screenshot that, and tweet it at SciGuysPod. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
and we can shout you out right now. Instead of just talking about Spotify, we'll say your name.
It's actually a live stream. It's going on all the time. Whenever you hit play, just go on, follow right now. We'll read out your name.
Hello, Jeff. No, there's no one called Jeff. Hello, Alex. There we go.
That's generic enough. I like it. Hi, Sam.
How are you, Sam?
Oh, very good. We also have a question to start this week as well, don't we? We do.
I don't prepare the show, you do.
I do, yeah. So the question for you this week, head into the comments and answer this question. Let us know, where's the farthest you've been from home? I mean, here, for you, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now this is my home.
Well, now, yeah.
Aww.
Oh, no. So Australia, I guess.
One or the other.
Liz, what about you? What's the farthest you've been from home?
Probably South Korea. I mean...
Oh, yeah. I mean...
that's pretty far, yeah.
I mean, probably. Oh, I might have popped a little far.
To take a guess.
Fantastic. All right. Well, why don't we start the show?
Wait, what about you?
I don't know.
Yeah, where have you been?
Scotland, that's it. It's here
I
in
have
Scotland.
Been... Oh, America or Cyprus? I don't know geography. America.
They're basically the same place, aren't
America.
They? Yeah.
It's farther.
Oh, no. I think I... Oh, I remember learning that Cyprus wasn't an island off England, but then I have forgotten that. And so now, where is it?
Greece.
Yes. Okay. I just realized that actually I flew to LA. So no, yeah, definitely LA.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely probably, farther away than both of those places.
Wait, where's New York? I've been to New York. How far is that?
It's 5 hours away.
So a lot further away from Australia. There you go. That's the farthest I've been. It genuinely took me like 30 hours to get there from Australia. It's disgusting.
Wow. Anyway. That's insane.
Shall we start the show?
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp, and special guest, Bliss.
Hello, Bliss.
Hi, Corey and Jamp.
This week, we're going to go balls deep.
Oh, God.
Again. I've used that one before.
We've done this before.
We have done this before.
Yeah.
But the last time...
What are you doing? No.
Did we use that for the science testicles?
No.
That was a bonus episode.
No, that was a bonus episode. We used that for In Too Deep, the episode where we spoke about going deep in the water. Mm. But this week, we're going to go deep into something else.
Space.
No.
Okay.
The opposite of space.
Matter.
Time.
Earth.
Oh, which is basically the sea.
You go,
the sea's part of the earth.
You go up to space, you go down into the ground.
Oh, okay.
Right? We're going.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah?
Sorry, I'm just thinking, well, space is all around us.
Oh, that's true. You go down enough, soon enough, you will get to space again.
Okay, yes.
Deep
true.
Into time. I prefer that.
No, so. What do you guys think is at the center of the earth?
Lava.
I mean, yeah.
That's a pretty good guess.
Yeah. There is like molten rock down there.
Okay.
That's like the sort of, that's one of the layers.
Oh, okay. But not the very center.
Not the very, very center. Okay. I think we've spoken about it recently on Sci Guys Live.
Did we?
I think we did.
I forget.
That's okay.
Wait, what's your guess, Jump? What's your guess?
Cheese.
Well, you know
that's where the moon comes from.
The center of the earth.
Yeah.
The earth is an egg and it birthed the moon.
Yeah.
Science. Wow.
It just slowly builds up. It starts as a cheese ball, then it slowly builds up plaque around it. which is what the moon is in its early life. So it's going to build a plaque eventually.
And it's going to become another
It's going to become another planet. Wow. It's going to become a planet, yeah.
Wow. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So we usually we're talking about the inside of the Earth. We've got you've got the crust, obviously, right? That's what we live on.
Something's a mantle, right?
Yeah. So
I don't know what.
I was going to say it's below the crust, but everything else is below the crust.
It's also so. Technically above the crust as well, depending on your point of view, right?
Mm, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, cause,
which way is down?
What do you laugh?
Doesn't exist.
We spoke about this already.
Everything is relative.
No, yeah, exactly. So you've got the crust, which is the outside, which is what we sit on and walk on and live on and whatnot. And then...
The ocean is also on the crust, just to clarify.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, that sits on top of the crust.
It doesn't go crust, ocean, rest of the earth.
No.
Okay, good.
No, it's kind of... Think of it as like a... Think of it as like a pizza, right? Mm. No, don't think of it as like a pizza. That'd be silly. Mm. The crust is just the outside. That's about 5 kilometers. That's about 5 kilometers thick. Well, between 5 and 75 kilometers thick. Obviously, the crust is different widths, different parts of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the mantle, which goes down to about 2,900 kilometers.
Ooh.
Wow, so that's a thick one.
Yeah.
It's quite thick.
Yeah. And then the core is about 3,500 kilometers out from the center of the Earth, and it's got two parts. There's two parts to the core. So there's the inner core and the outer core.
Yes.
And then there's the mantle, and then the crust.
The crusty crust on top.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So, what do you know about the core, the center of the Earth?
Brendan Fraser went there one time.
He did, didn't he?
He did. Yeah.
I think The Rock went there as well with Josh Hutcherson.
No, that was some mysterious island. I'm not.
That was Journey to the Center of the Earth, and then Journey to the Mysterious Island.
Yeah.
Was that
I'd never watched the second one. Was that in the center of the earth?
No, Journey to the Center of the Earth, and it was Journey 2, the number 2, Mysterious Island. That was the second one.
But the Mysterious Island doesn't necessarily have to be in the center of the earth.
Yeah, but that was the second one. It was the sequel to Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser got stuck in the center of the earth. They're like, we have to go somewhere else. We have to pick another location. Journey 2. I don't know, the island.
Journey 3, space. Right? Okay, let's talk about science again. So,
okay, what do we know? What do we know about the center?
What about its temperature? Is it cool?
No.
It's very hot. Right?
Isn't it hotter than the sun?
So parts of the center of the earth are hotter than the surface of the sun.
Wow.
Or about the heat of the surface, the temperature of the surface of the sun.
But it's not lava, the very center. You've said that already.
It's not lava, so. No. Okay. I mean, lava is molten rock. So the center of the earth is made of, it's nickel and iron.
Oh, God.
So wow. the very center is this solid just ball.
Oh.
And then the outside of the center... there's the inner core and the outer core. So the inner core is like this solid ball, and the outer core is liquid.
And the liquid doesn't melt the solid?
No. Well, okay, so you got to think about it this way, right? There's two things that kind of control how solid or liquid something is, right? Is pressure and temperature.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So if you increase the pressure, it needs more temperature to be solid. It needs to be a higher temperature to become liquid.
Okay.
Right.
This is like why when you go to space and there's basically zero pressure, all of the liquids in your body will boil off immediately because the temperature required to get them to boil drops.
Mm.
Right. So okay. As
you mean the liquid on the surface of your skin. What are you talking about? What's boiling off?
If you were in space without a spacesuit.
Oh, right, okay.
Your blood would basically boil.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Without a spacesuit.
That's why we have spacesuits.
Yeah, that's why we have. Yeah. See, this is because when I think, oh, you know, if you're in space, I just think, oh, in space without a spacesuit. I feel like I need to clarify.
Yes,
that you are.
You shouldn't have to do that. I just, just for me.
No, he should.
No, I should. No one is going to space without spacesuits, right? Thus far in human history, most people in space have been comfortably sealed inside of a spacesuit.
So the spacesuit is protecting your liquids from boiling up.
Well, yeah, among other things, yeah.
And helping you breathe and, you know, other little things.
Just the tiny little things. No, but so as the pressure increases, the temperature needed to basically melt or boil also increases.
Okay, is it like... The highest pressure in the universe is like always in the center of planets.
No, I mean, so some planets don't have a lot of geothermal activity going on. So the thing is that the highest sort of pressure, I don't know where the highest pressure in the universe is, but essentially the reason that there's a lot of pressure in the center of a planet is because if you think about it, there's so much more planet on top of you pushing down.
Okay.
Right. So pressure is essentially like force over area, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So like if I'm pushing down,
oh, of course.
Yeah. So if you push down with like, the same force, right, on your hand, there is less pressure with three fingers than there is with one finger, even if it's the same force, right?
And a pin, for example.
Yeah, and a pin. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you can see this when you're in water and you try and swim deeper and deeper and deeper, right? Your ears will like sort of pop and stuff, and you'll feel like your head will feel funny the deeper that you go, because if you're like 1 meter underwater, let's say you've got basically a U-shaped sort of like column of water above you that is 1 meter tall, right? If you go another meter like deeper in water, you've then got a 2 meter column that is U-shaped above you pushing down on you on the same area, right? Your area doesn't change, but the amount of water above you changes.
Yeah. Is that related to gravity?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so the force so gravity is causing that force. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. So that's how the pressure at the center of planets is so high. I mean, like, there's probably higher pressure somewhere else. You can, I don't know, maybe the center of a star. You could say.
Ooh. Yeah.
But then you would burn up.
Is that in a black hole, or do we not know? Like, is there really a lot of pressure in there?
This is the thing, right? It would be difficult to determine that in terms of pressure, because it's a black hole isn't right with at the center of a planet, right? There's a lot of stuff, right, pushing down on you. Whereas a black hole is like there is a point of mass in a black hole, and so I guess you could say that the pressure on that, like if there was anything at that point, the pressure on it would be astronomical.
Yeah,
but that's not really possible
because it becomes the point once you. Part of it,
like, yeah, just the way that the black holes don't work intuitively, right? Okay. Like you got to, like, a black hole is essentially the easiest way for us to think of a black hole is like there's an event horizon, there's a point at which if you cross it you will never leave the black hole, but that's not the singularity at the center of the black hole, which is like where all that mass is being sort of concentrated and pulled towards.
Yes.
So pressure when it comes to, I guess, black holes and even stars, it can be difficult to figure that out. Yeah.
But sorry, back to the Earth.
Back to the Earth. So I was saying that the core of the Earth is really hot. So it's nickel iron. It's a big ball of nickel and iron. It is about 5,400 degrees centigrade. It's pretty toasty. It's pretty hot.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like I said, it's, I think as one of you said, it's similar in temperature to the surface of the sun. And then the outer core is more liquid, and then... it's kind of a similar temperature, but it obviously gets hotter and hotter towards the center.
And it's spinning, isn't it?
Yeah, it also is. Oh, it also spinning.
Wow,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the core is spinning, which is really important for Earth's magnetic field.
And so it's spinning separately. Hang on, is the Earth spinning? Yeah. The Earth's spinning because it's got a flipping egg.
Everything's spinning, really.
Yeah.
most things are actually spinning.
But it's spinning separately to the...
To my understanding, yeah, because it creates the sort of magnetic field that protects us from solar radiation
aliens.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
No. Maybe. You know what? Maybe. Maybe it is protected. I don't know. Honestly, I don't think we would know if it was protected.
True.
how do you think that we know what's at the center of the Earth?
Oh,
someone went there.
Shit. Yeah, that's a good point.
No, that's not true.
No.
I'm guessing they put a rod down. They like drilled a really thin rod down, and that was able to like feel things and give us some measurements.
See, you'd think that, right? Yeah, that's how you feel like we should be able to just dig down.
But we can't.
Wait, what? Where does lava come from? Does that come from the core?
No.
Okay. No. I was like, maybe it comes out of volcanoes. I might just study that. But that's not true.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I mean, bear in mind, right? The core.
Don't sound amazed, but it's not true.
Because I was like, wow. I know you just said it's not true. That's not what it is.
You wow, got, it's not true.
You got to remember that the center of the Earth, right, mm-hmm. is farther away than space.
No. Wait.
Oh, yeah, because space is like 100 kilometers up.
Space is 100 kilometers. Yeah. Well, if you're America, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it's, what,
120-something.
Something like that. Yeah, something. Yeah. It's a little less if you're American.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's say space is 100 kilometers away, right?
Okay.
Space is 100 kilometers away. If you were to go 100 kilometers down, you would probably be in the mantle.
Whoa.
But not even, not far into the mantle. Remember, because the crust is 5 to 75 kilometers thick. And the mantle is, it goes down to 2,900 kilometers.
Okay, that's crazy.
Yeah. So space is closer than the center of the Earth.
Wait, how did they define the start of space?
Oh, I can't remember. We did do an episode on this. Do you remember what episode it was? Lost Cosmonauts?
That's probably it.
Lost Cosmonauts.
Something like that. That was in the 60s. As in the episode numbers.
Really?
Pretty sure. No, it's way earlier than that. It's in the 30s.
You know what we'll do? I will do this when I get home today. I will make a playlist of different episode themes so that whenever we talk about something, you can go ahead and watch one of those episodes. So go and check out the space theme playlist and you'll probably find out why, because I can't remember.
I was so wrong. It's actually episode 27.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it might be that one. Yeah. Check out episode 27.
Maybe. We'll find out.
So, yeah, so the core is hot, as we know, and we haven't actually gone to the center of the Earth.
Okay.
Right? We can't. I'll get into that in a little bit. So we actually use essentially earthquakes to figure out what's at the center of the Earth. Essentially, do you know what happens when an earthquake goes, right?
Okay, let me think.
It's the tectonic plates of the Earth like rubbing against each other.
Yeah, so like yeah, exactly. So yeah. there's like fault lines and stuff, and an earthquake will basically yeah.
Yeah.
But that what that does is it sends seismic waves through the planet.
Yeah.
And it like they can travel through the Earth, like right through the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And using basically if you can measure an earthquake from one side of the planet on another side of the planet, then you're measuring the waves that have gone through the entire Earth.
Right.
So you can figure out what's in the center of the Earth using those waves. Right?
That's clever. Oh,
okay.
It's like it's not exactly this. If you were to shine light and a flashlight.
Yeah.
All the way through a fish tank.
Mm. Okay.
You could see what was in that fish tank. Or at least you could figure out what was in that fish tank based on looking at the light from the other side, right?
Okay, yes. Okay,
yeah, think of it kind of like that way. Like I said, we don't actually specifically know what's at the center of the Earth. Like, we've got a good idea, bear in mind, like, but we don't know. It's not like we've gone down there and seen it or we've taken samples or anything like that. We've just had to sort of figure it out based on measurements using seismology. So, like I said, there's a kind of mystery at the core. I said that it was nickel and iron. It's about 80% iron. Mostly iron.
Yeah.
And yeah, basically we want to know what's going on there. And there's kind of a difficult path to figuring out what was going on because again, like I said, we can't just dig. It feels like we should be able to dig, right? In my heart, in my head, I know that the Earth is big. And I know it's hot down there, and I know that we cannot dig. Yeah. But in my heart, it just feels wrong that we can't just dig.
Bank holiday weekend, grab a shovel, go for your life. We'll
if we all did it together.
If we all just, like, the only reason we haven't gotten to the center of the Earth yet is because people keep on giving up. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
No, but really, so it's too hot. Is that it? It's too hot and too far.
Yeah, there's quite a few reasons. I'll tell you about that in a little bit.
Okay.
There's a little story with that. So you might be asking, if we can't dig down there, how do we know what's down there?
Yes.
Are you asking that?
I'm still asking that.
Yeah.
Let me
hear it, please.
If we can't dig.
Painful. So there were two scientists who were never nominated for a Nobel Prize. Richard Oldham and Inge Lehmann, a Danish person and an English person. Try and figure out
what you
need to know.
So essentially, like I said, we use earthquakes, right? We use seismic waves. So there are two different types of seismic waves. There's primary and secondary. P waves. And S waves.
Okay.
You can see why they're named that. Yeah. So primary waves are probably the easiest ones to understand. So they're quick. They travel about 5 kilometers per second. It depends on what kind of rock it is, but in, say, granite, they travel at 5 kilometers per second. And they can travel even faster than that, up to 14 kilometers per second in different types of rock. And then there's S waves. They're slower. And essentially, the thing is that P waves kind of, I guess, compress when they pass through. They pass through stuff kind of like sound waves. So it kind of essentially pushes one part of the rock against itself, and it kind of, do you know what I mean? It pushes that way right the way through.
Yeah.
That's how they travel, right? Whereas S waves are slower and they travel a little bit differently. S waves kind of, they move from side to side almost, right? Well, they more move from side to side, whereas P waves kind of compress. S waves move from side to side. Mm-hmm. And P waves can travel through liquid. They can travel through solid. S waves can only travel through solids.
Okay.
Ah, I see. Right? Okay.
So...
I feel like I know where this is going.
Yeah, tell me. Where do you think it's going? Where?
So I'm guessing that they realized when they could feel, they could, I'm guessing, did they use a seismograph?
Yeah,
is that a thing that exists?
Or a seismometer, I think. Yeah, seismograph or seismometer. Okay. I can't remember the name.
On one side of the planet, the opposite side of the planet to where the earthquake was happening. Mm. And there was no, hang on. Oh, they measured each wave and was like, this is how much liquid or solid there is or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty spot on. So, I mean, if one of them can't travel through a liquid, then you can... It was seismometers, by the way. I just read it in my notes.
Seismometer. Seismometer.
Yeah, like thermometer. Okay. Size.
But for size.
Yes. So it's a ruler.
Do you reckon when they were coming up with the ruler, they were like, I'm going to call this a seismometer. Oh, damn it, that's already taken. Oh.
You geologists, you! Yeah, so what actually happened was Richard Oldham had basically been working in India using a seismometer measuring different seismic waves. And he essentially... he accumulated all of the data that he had, and he essentially used it to figure out what was going on at the center of the Earth. And there was some strange, like, basically there was some strange stuff going on, because if a seismic wave traveled through the Earth, right, you'd expect to see, if it was solid, you'd expect to see both the P waves and the S waves.
Mm-hmm.
You expect to see the P waves come first and the S waves come after. But it wasn't really working out like that. And then he figured out, okay, based on this, there must be some liquid at the center of the Earth. Because otherwise...
Stopping the S waves.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's how we figure out there's some liquid going on there. And we thought it was all liquid until we realized that essentially it wasn't, based again on the way that the waves were coming through. This is all like... I mean, if you think about it kind of like the P waves almost refract through the liquid in the way that light refracts through water or through glass. It's kind of like figuring it out that way. I mean, if you think of the waves as kind of like, it's not exactly like this, but if you think of the waves as essentially like shining a torch through something, like I said,
yeah,
that's kind of how they're doing it, and seeing what it like sort of bounces off of or whatever, or using almost like using echolocation in a cave, right, to try and figure out what's going on where.
So
when it comes to finding out what's at the center of the Earth, it's not straightforward. It's not just digging or looking or asking someone. You got to essentially...
Have you been there? Do you know what's there?
Dwayne Johnson, sir. Mr. The Rock. What was down there, sir? Mr. Fraser? No, it's essentially using seismic waves to figure out what is... It's almost like inferring from those seismic waves to see what has and has not... what is and is not there. And this is the thing. It's not just... It's not necessarily as clear as you'd think it would be. Like, we don't know as much as you'd think. Like, I remember being taught in school that, this is what the center of the Earth is. And yeah, we've got a good idea. But there's also some mysteries. So, for example, there's kind of this weird sort of shadow that is there at the center of the Earth. There's this kind of like, there's this kind of thing going on where we're not entirely sure what is happening. I'm not explaining it very well, but it's essentially that
a shadow.
Yeah, some kind of like
ominous.
No, yeah, like we don't. There's some kind of like not blip in the data, but yeah, there's some kind of anomaly, and we're trying to figure out what is going on at the center of the Earth. Because there's some change. I mean, some interesting things here is that when waves pass through the core from north to south, they travel faster than when they travel basically east to west or west to east.
Oh my gosh.
So if you travel from the North Pole to the South Pole, it's faster than going like in line with the equator.
Yeah.
Oh. Apparently at the very, very center of the inner core, which is the solid metal bit in the very center of the Earth, that is slightly different. It's off by about 54 degrees. So it's faster to travel north to south, right? But in the very, very center of the core, that is off by 54 degrees. So it's faster to travel 54 degrees off from north to south.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're not sure why. So this has been for about 20 years ago they noticed this. And apparently they're still working on this. They're still trying to figure out what this sort of signal is.
So there could be like an inner core, basically.
I mean,
possibly.
Maybe something like that. It could be something. I honestly have no idea what it could be.
Yeah, okay.
All
right.
I know is that there's this sort of like anomaly going on. And this is a quote from a scientist working on this. She said, "This isn't just noise in the data. This is really something that's there." So,
weird.
Yeah, there is some weird little anomaly, and we don't really know what it is. Go on.
Oh, sorry, I was just wondering, do you know if it's when they've been measuring it over time, if it's like, does it seem stable in there, or do things change?
Well, for the last 20 years, they noticed it 20 years ago, and for the last 20 years, it's been consistent.
Yeah,
it's been off by about 54 degrees. And again, like I said, it's important to the scientists went on to say that it's important to understand what is going on at the core because the core is really important for Earth's magnetic field.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And Earth's magnetic field is really important because it stops sort of rogue it protects us from radiation.
Yeah.
For one thing. There are a lot of things going on with the Earth's magnetic field that you probably wouldn't think of that are important for life. Not to make like compasses, for example. All the compasses in the world would simply stop working.
We wouldn't be alive without compasses.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
We could not be.
We could not live.
I mean, unless you use one on your iPhone, in which case that's probably
fine. That would stop working as well.
Yeah, so as I said, way back when, we thought the core was fully molten. And then basically it took us 30 years after Oldham discovered a molten core before we realized that it wasn't quite as simple as that. And that's when the Dutch person came in and then said, actually,
the Dutch person came in.
Inge Lehmann. Look, come on. Don't do this to me. I said Dutch, Danish.
Oh, bloody
I think.
Hell.
I'm sorry to all the Danes out there. So what do you think lives down in the middle of the Earth? Not in the middle of the Earth, but yeah. Do you think what's the deepest you think something is living? Not in water.
It's not Brendan Fraser. Sorry, I'll stop making that joke.
He died along with his career long time ago.
It's just the deep sea then.
No. In the Earth, there are caves, remember? There are deep caves.
Oh, yeah. Living?
Yeah, there's some things living down there.
Interesting.
So
I'm guessing like little beetles.
Well, not quite a beetle. It's
bacteria.
Well, oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Even smaller.
Jump.
Basically, the bugs of bugs.
Jump. You just tell me what's down there, and I'll believe you.
I don't know. I don't know why. I feel like I'm outnumbered today.
There you go. Beatles, bugs, and Brendan Fraser are all down there in the center of the earth.
The three Bs. No. So if you go to about 1,000 meters down, that's you'll still find life down there.
I really wanted you to give me an example of how far away 1,000 meters was.
So a kilometer. So right. Do you know? You know you're running.
Yes.
Can you figure out a kilometer from your running?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can run down to the line. Just run straight down, Bliss.
I'm gonna run down there.
It'd take you.
Go see them.
Take you what? Like 5 minutes to run. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I run 5 minutes down, what would I find again? Tell me.
Life.
Haven't told you. Haven't got a chance to tell you yet. No. Yeah, so essentially little bugs, invertebrates, little things that's fine, like bugs. Yeah, there's springtails and mites, but also there are there are little bugs, slightly bigger sort of bugs. specifically, there's this centipede which lives 1,100 meters down there, and is named after Pluto, the Greek god of the dead, of the underworld. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you can find like bugs and centipedes and whatnot. But if you're looking for the deepest animal living, the deepest animal that lives on land, how deep do you think that might be?
Should we say at the same time?
I think if you dig far enough down, you'll find humans again. I think if you go about 12,000 kilometers down, you'll reach humans. You just got to keep going and going and going and you'll get there. I don't know the actual answer.
3,000 kilometers.
I think that's sensible.
Well, it's a little bit, it's, wait, 3,000.
I assume meters.
No, 3,000 kilometers, I'm saying.
No, that's...
that's in the middle of the mantle.
Yeah. Well, that, no, it's, no. 3,000 is still in the crust. 5 to 75. Oh, shit, no. 3,000 as well into the mantle.
Yeah, 3,000 kilometers, yeah.
And I'm sticking with it.
Well, it's not that. Yeah. it's not.
A little bit off, I think. Okay.
No, it's actually about 1,000, just under 1,200 meters. No, it's just under 2,000 meters down.
Okay.
So that's in the deepest cave that we know of, the deepest natural cave. And yeah, it's this springtail. It's this little insect that's named after Pluto. It's just living down there.
Aww. Spring.
I said that the Greek god of the underworld was Pluto earlier on. It's Hades.
What was that? It's Hades, right?
It's Hades, yeah. Oh. I got confused.
I just believed you.
Yeah, you do.
Like, maybe they changed it.
They might have done. Look, this thing is, right? They're the same thing, right? The Greek gods and the Roman gods.
Yeah.
The Romans just nicked them and changed
them. Yeah,
Hello, I've started a new religion. This is my god. His father sent him down.
Yeah.
He died. Then he came back 3 days later.
He did.
His name is Jessica. Jessica Cross.
So you're going to pick another god name. His name is Anubis.
Nope. His name is Jessica Cross. And it's my religion and no one else's.
Jessica Cross. Oh, dear.
Original gods do not steal. Yeah, and the thing with animals living down there is that they're really isolated environments, obviously, because things don't tend to go down to those caves very often, do they?
No.
So it's kind of like the thing is that if you've got an animal down there, their biodiversity is pretty low because they basically all have to be somewhat incestuous because there's not much mixing with other environments, mixing with other populations. There is that population living down in that cave, and that's where they live, and that's where they need to live. So if something was to suddenly change, they could go extinct really quickly because they wouldn't necessarily be able to adapt. There's not much diversity going on there. So that's probably why you probably don't want to live down in a cave if you're, say, a springtail or whatever. You know, you probably want to live somewhere easier to stay alive.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
I was going to say, if I'm ever a springtail, I'll be sure not to go there.
Oh, you bloody better be. So how deep do you think we've dug? What's the deepest you think we've gone?
3,000 kilometers.
You're just saying 3,000 kilometers. Right?
It'll be right eventually.
It won't be. It will not be.
What's the deepest we've ever... Well, clearly we found those bugs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be at least like 2,000 meters minimum.
3,000 meters.
You stick with 3,000. You're determined to get 3,000 in there somehow.
Not 3,000.
Please.
I'm going to say 2,001 meters.
It's much deeper than that, actually.
Really?
Yeah. So it's 12,200 meters.
Ooh.
12.2 kilometers. Yeah. So who do you think dug that hole?
What?
What country?
What
group of people? Not an individual.
Brendan Fraser. No.
He is really getting it. He is taking a beating for you.
No,
Russia.
He's been treated horribly.
Well, wow. Yeah, it was the Soviets. Yeah. Spot on. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Good job.
Oh, my God.
Good job. What? How did you get that?
I just felt it.
Russia did everything.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's like a second space race almost,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
So they dug this during the Cold War. And I do love this image, right, of... the Americans and the Russians during the Cold War just being like, what can we do to outdo these guys? Okay, the Russians are going to go to space, send someone as far away from Earth as you can. The Russians are trying to get as close to the center, send them down there, send them as far down as you can. Like, what else? Like, even like, I think, even like sporting events and stuff. Have you seen what's it called? The Queen's Gambit, right?
No.
No.
Not seen Queen's Gambit. Neither of you seen Queen's Gambit.
I saw you watching it once. I watched a bit of an episode.
Saw you right, watching
I do remember
it.
That, yeah. Was I enjoying it? How did I feel?
You seem to be enjoying it.
Yeah, that yeah. makes sense.
That made me happy.
Oh,
that's really lovely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But
it was
no,
a nice
we
shared
not.
Experience, even though I had no idea what was going
Perhaps
on.
I'll send you some videos of me watching it again in the
future. Oh, thank you. Relive the good times.
No, so my point here is that it feels like the US and Russia were really just competing on everything was a massive pissing contest when it
yes.
came to science, exploration, digging deep holes, all mm-hmm. of it.
Yes.
So, the Soviets were trying to drill as deep as possible into the crust and try and get to the mantle if they could. And so it was like, it was this sort of big competition. So there was a German scientist who was working for the Germans at the same time. And he said, there was certainly competition between us. One of the main motivations was that the Russians were simply not really open with their data. When the Russians started to drill, they basically said that they found water, like just water flitting about. And people didn't believe it because they thought that it would be too dense for water to permeate through at that point. And essentially the goal, they wanted to dig as deep as possible. What they wanted to do was try and get samples of the mantle, because we can kind of sample the mantle in sort of places where it's closer to the surface, but it's not sampling the mantle as it is now. It's more sampling the mantle as it used to be millions of years ago. Mm-hmm. We want like a current sample of the mantle, right? So the reason it'd be like sampling millions of years ago is because that's what the mantle would have been like millions of years ago. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Whereas if you dig deep down into what it is now.
Oh, I see. Yeah? Okay. Mm.
Yeah. And this person who works for the Japan Agency for Marine Earth Science says, in places like Oman, you can find the mantle close to the surface, but that's mantle as it was millions of years ago. Essentially, it's like the difference between getting, they say, a living dinosaur and a dinosaur fossil.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason that we want to try and get to the mantle.
Yeah.
So the Russians, the Soviets, what they dug was the Kola super deep borehole. Like I said, it's 12.2 kilometers deep. How thick do you think it is?
Very thin. I'm going to say 3 centimeters.
3 centimeters? Well, it's more than that. It's still thin. It's thin. It's thin.
Okay.
You know, it's not a girthy hole, but it's
4 centimeters.
It's more than that.
10 centimeters.
It's about 9 inches.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is pretty thin, considering. Yeah, it's definitely 12 kilometers deep.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's pretty thin, isn't it?
Pretty thin, yeah.
It's pretty thin.
It's pretty thin.
No,
oh.
Can't even fit myself down there. So, no, it's nine inches wide. So it's thin, but they wanted to dig deeper. It took them about 20 years to get that deep. It took them about 20 years, to get that deep, which is about maybe half the distance or less to the mantle where they were digging. And they found a bunch of stuff. They found plankton fossils about 4 miles down, and then they had to give it up in 1992 because they were drilling, and the temperatures just got way, way hotter than they thought they would. About 212 degrees. It was, so this is in Fahrenheit. So it was 356 degrees Fahrenheit, which was a lot hotter than the 212 degrees that they were expecting. That was their limit.
Yeah. Right.
So it got way hotter than that. Obviously hot is not good for drill break if hot.
Ah.
Yes. So they had to stop drilling. They were like, okay, it is getting too hot. It won't work. And also when you're drilling down that deep, if you think about it, when you start to drill really, really deep, and the temperature gets higher and higher and higher, it's more liquid that you're kind of drilling through, which means that if you're drilling, it's hard to keep the hole open.
Oh,
because
of course.
It's getting more.
Yeah.
It's like if you were to instead of we think of digging as just digging a hole and it's all the same stuff. That's really easy. But like, imagine if the deeper that you dug, right, the more watery the more muddy the ground got.
Well, Yeah, you guys have done that, right? At the beach.
Yeah.
And you start digging, and you start digging, and then the water.
And then eventually you're 12,000 meters down.
And then you're in China.
And then, yeah.
No, I just...
And you're stuck there with no passport. You've got to learn yourself some Mandarin. Oh,
dig your way back.
That was a bloody awful summer, I'll tell you that, Bliss. Never again.
Wait, but I am thinking, right? And you dig down and then it gets watery. So it's like stop being as a dig and it just fills in.
Yeah, but that's more because of sort of groundwater rather than...
Well, I know.
Yeah.
But it's the same principle.
No, I know. Okay.
Yeah.
It's similar. Yeah, no, yeah.
It works the same way. It gets wetter.
Yeah.
I think that was a good point.
I don't think it's not a good point. It's a good point. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I'm just saying that it's for a different reason. That's all.
Thank you. I'll stand up for you.
No, the reason it gets more liquidy as you dig towards the center of the earth is because it's getting hotter. The reason it gets more liquidy on the beach is because there's just water there.
There's actual, yeah.
Yeah, it's just water.
<There's> actual water. But water is still a liquid like the liquid in the earth.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. That's why I'm sticking up here.
These two liquids are both liquids.
That's true. Flipping That's up. Why I agree with you.
I'm not disputing that. I never disagreed with you on that, Bliss. I never did.
You can't blame her for the beach not being hot.
The beach is hot. That's
not that hot.
Clearly, it's not that hot.
So they were struggling to keep it as a hole.
Yeah, so it was... They were struggling to dig the hole. They were struggling to keep the hole open. And they eventually gave up. What I've got here, it says, it's like trying to keep a pit in the center of a hot pot of soup.
Mm.
Which, yeah, I mean, like, it's hard to keep a liquid to stay, like, keep a hole in liquid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that was it. They gave up. And that's the deepest that we've ever dug, 12.2 kilometers down. But I want to give you both an idea of sort of how deep that is, right? So I've got some things here. We can just go on a journey to the center of the earth, right? Really briefly, just us three. So we start at 0.7 meters. That's rabbits and moles. That's where they go. Yep. That's how deep they burrow.
Okay.
And then a grave is about 1.8 meters.
Ooh,
right?
6 feet.
6 feet. Yeah. Yeah. It's about my height.
Yeah.
Which means if I was standing up in my grave, that'd probably be fine.
You can just pet your hair.
All I'd need would be a little straw, stick it out of the ground. Can't bury me alive.
That's it.
And then 3 meters, you've got the deep earthworms. So giant earthworms that can get up to being more than a meter long. So longer than this.
Ooh.
Which, yeah, right?
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know?
No,
I think it's cool. So they can go. They can be about 3 meters down. 5 meters is the depth for a 10-meter platform of an Olympic swimming pool.
Oh.
So if you dig 5 meters down, you've basically dug yourself an Olympic swimming pool.
Nice.
Oh.
And then 8 meters down, we've got a mole man. So basically a man burrowed 8 meters underneath his house spent 40 years doing it,
yeah.
Starting in the 1960s, finishing in the 2000s.
A merman.
A mole man. Yeah, no, mole man. He dug a mole.
He built himself a burrow.
Okay, sorry.
8 meters underground. There's an underground city, 18 meters under Beijing. The Paris. Have you been to the Paris catacombs?
No.
It's 20 meters down.
Oh,
it's fine.
My jump's disgusted by the depth.
No, I watched a horror film about the
catacombs. Yeah. That's above, so below, or something.
Yeah, that's it.
There's the Sarlacc pit. How deep do you think the Sarlacc pit is?
Never heard of it.
That's in Star Wars.
Yeah. We can measure the depth
of
the Sarlacc.
It's not real. Okay.
Still has depth.
I'll entertain it. hold on. What did we just get to? What was the last number?
The last number...
It's got to be a step above that.
We'll have no bearing on it. Just give it a go.
Oh, okay.
It'll be deeper than the last number.
Okay. Sarlacc pit is 300 meters.
100 meters.
Oh!
Yeah, no, 100 meters. That's how... It's also how deep you bury nuclear waste, right? So we're only 100 meters right now.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff already.
Yeah, a lot of stuff already.
Getting the earth up.
How did Boba Fett get out of that?
I don't know.
Mm.
Well, you have to watch The Mandalorian. Yeah. Sequel series.
Out. Yes.
The Boba Fett Tales or whatever Disney are calling
it. The Book of Boba Fett.
Please pay us money. No, so that's 100 meters, right? Let's go a little bit farther. Let's jump to the Chilean miners. Remember when they were stuck in 2010 for 69 days? That was 700 meters.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Still not the deepest, even nearly the deepest that we've dug. and the deepest bat colony is 1,000, hold on, I said, yeah, 700 meters. So it's 1,000, just over 1,000 meters. Some bats live down there. The Grand Canyon is 1,600 meters.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
So it's the Grand Canyon is like maybe just over 10% of the deepest hole that we've ever dug. And then, I mean...
like the Grand Canyon was a hole we dug. That made it sound like...
No, the Grand Canyon is definitely not a hole that we dug. It is just... like if you've been to the Grand Canyon... Right, so if you've been to the Grand Canyon, right?
Well, okay.
Right, think about... Remember the Grand Canyon?
Yes.
Multiply that by like 10.
I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, it's deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's deep. Yeah, deep.
It was a good... It was a deep 2D image that I saw.
It was, yeah.
It looked pretty deep. Yeah.
So then we've got a hen's egg cracking... at 2,330 meters, which still isn't even nearly half of the deepest hole.
How did it get there?
What? No, a hen's egg will crack if you take it down that deep.
How do they know that?
Okay.
Because of the pressure.
Okay, okay, okay.
They recorded a hen's egg cracking at 2,000 meters. It's like, how did it get there? Someone drilled the hole and they dropped it in accidentally.
It's like they were digging their hole and they had their lunch and they dropped their egg down.
And then it just splattered
it
at the bottom.
Not even at the bottom, it exploded.
On the way down?
Yeah, on the way down. No, that's not what happened. Dear. No, just because the pressure. Because the pressure there is about 234 atmospheres. So 234 times what you're used to right now. Which is...
That's heavy.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, then about just over 12,000 kilometers is the Kola super deep borehole. At that point, 4,000 atmospheres of pressure you'd be feeling. Apparently that's the same as 54 elephants standing on top of your head.
Oh,
which like, I feel like one elephant is too
exactly.
much.
Exactly. Well, yeah, one elephant in your head wouldn't be there, would it?
Be so... under the elephant. And then, yeah, we go lower and lower and lower. And someone's going to say this, by the way. We've been saying that lava is in the earth. It's magma, right? It's magma that's
okay.
in the earth.
Okay, wait, is in... But
it becomes lava when it comes out.
When it comes out,
yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, but hang on. But there's still lava... Wait, comes out of what? Comes out of a volcano?
Yeah.
So it's magma inside a volcano, sorry. Or yes. Lava is inside
the volcano. Inside the earth, and then it shoots up through the volcano, like a pimple.
At which point it becomes lava.
Okay.
Yeah. So, for example, the Yellowstone, and even deeper, just a little bit deeper at 15,000 meters, is the Yellowstone magma chamber. So the super volcano at Yellowstone, the magma chamber is just a little bit deeper than the deepest hole we've ever dug. And, I mean, that's how deep things are. I mean, if you go to a little bit deeper, 150,000 meters, that's where diamonds start to form.
Oh, my gosh.
And then at the center of the Earth, right down into the center. That's 3.6 million atmospheres, which is 47,700 elephants standing on your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. At that point, it's like, it's not a number you can conceptualize.
Bring another one. Come on, another elephant. I want one.
Give me more. And no, that is the deepest hole we've ever dug. That's the story of how we know what's at the center of the earth and how deep we can go.
That is terrifying.
It is terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's slightly less terrifying than our deep water episode. Right, which you should all go back and listen to, by the way, because I feel like we're pretty sure that nothing is really living in this. Like as we go deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
Again, we could potentially be wrong.
Yeah.
It's unlikely, but we could be wrong in the same way that we thought that things couldn't live as deep in the ocean as they do. But the ocean is scarier because it is cold and dark, and things are living there.
Yeah, I'd say out of the three, which is like space, the ocean, and the earth. I'd say the earth is the least scary.
Yeah, I think it goes ocean, space, earth.
It's something about the ocean.
So, okay, right. Here's the thing. Space and the ocean are fundamentally the same thing, right? They're functionally, for a person, deep in the ocean and deep in space, exact same thing, right? Because you need a special suit to be in there.
Yeah.
There's issues with pressure. That means that if there was any issue with your suit, you would be straight. You'd be immediately dead.
You need some kind of vessel to get around, yeah.
Exactly. If you get lost from your vessel, you are probably going to be alone forever. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be almost impossible to find and get to you.
Yeah.
The only difference is that things can eat you in the ocean.
Yes.
Things can't eat you in space. There's nothing to eat you in space. Therefore, space is less scary than the ocean.
Yeah. It's right. Like a black hole. A black hole can eat you. But then that's unlikely. That's unlikely.
I mean, that's it's not going to eat you so much as it's just going to spaghettify you.
Yeah, you become spaghetti. Like a black hole becomes like the Lady and the Tramp. It's just sucking you up. Delicious.
Quite a nice image.
Yeah.
It is. What a lovely way to end this episode. Yeah. Goodness me. Well, I'm terribly sorry for the off-the-rails insanity of today to everyone listening. I'm sure we'll be back to normal very soon. Or not, our past few episodes have been really off the rails, haven't they?
Just gets worse from here.
It's been going downhill. It's been not just downhill, right down into the earth. That's where we're going. If you join our Patreon, join our Patreon, patreon.com/SciGuys. If we hit, I don't know, 1 million patrons, we will dig. And we won't stop digging. We won't stop. All
Until
of our resources.
Beat the record. We will beat it.
And we'll beat it with a shovel and some perseverance.
Yes.
Some elbow grease.
13,000 meters. Kilometers. What meters?
Do more than that. Let's do. Let's
no, 12,000 kilometers is the entire Earth.
Let's do 15 kilometers.
15 kilometers.
Let's do 15 kilometers.
Okay.
I think if we go to Yellowstone and just dump into the magma pit, then we'll be fine, right? Because we've already gotten that. Because we've already gotten that down farther.
Yeah.
We just need to dig a tiny little bit of a hole.
Yeah.
Smart, right?
Yeah.
But it is the end of the episode, as you both know, and that means that it's time for my favorite part of the episode. It is time for the quickfire quiz round.
Dun, 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 dun. Earth edition.
Sounds like you're saying, it's the same sort of cadence as WandaVision.
Earth edition.
So, the rules of the quickfire quiz are as follows.
Earth edition.
I must ask you a question. One question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer wins, but you've got to let me finish asking the question before you can buzz in with your answer. So, what are your buzzers? Bliss, what is your buzzer?
Beep.
Very good buzzer.
That was horrible swear. Can't believe you'd come on this podcast and say that.
Honestly, I mean, like, try and say it again. See if I believe it again.
Beep.
Horrible to hear, isn't it? Children watching. Disgusting. Jan, what's your buzz?
Which is digging to the center of the earth.
Oh, that's the whole thing. You've got to do the whole thing now.
You couldn't do that. Stop going.
Oh god, it's a long episode.
20 years later. So my question for both of you is, are you ready?
Yes.
So
well
ready.
Done. No. How deep is the deepest man-made hole on Earth?
Beep.
Bliss.
Flipping heck.
I'll take approximate.
Okay. It's in meters.
Whatever units you want.
13. Okay, no, then. I passed a jump.
Is it 12,000 meters?
Well done, that's right. 12 Whee! Kilometers. Ding, ding, ding. That's correct. But 12.2 kilometers down, it is the Kola Super Deep Borehole. Well done.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
I think that's it.
You jogged my memory with 13. I was like, oh, it's just been less
than that. It was teamwork, I think. I think we got that together. Yeah.
You both get the point, I think.
Thank you.
Well, I think that is it from us. Thank you very much for joining us, Bliss.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming back.
It got very deep today, didn't it?
It's so deep. Deeper than I was expecting.
Much deeper than I was expecting. We all feeling good, though? We're all feeling good after our deep, deep chat today.
Yes.
Yeah. Love a good deep and meaning.
TMC. Yeah. Very good. Well, that is it for today's episode. But before we go, we'd like to give a very special thank you to all of our patrons, with an even more special thank you to our executive producers, Ashley Muller and Anoni May. And thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
Don't follow me, I'm Bliss.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.